This is Shimon Newbord with Hilchos Shabbos, Chapter 9. This chapter contains 20 halachas. In this chapter, we continue what was done in the previous two chapters. In Chapter 7, the Rambam listed the 39 categories of melacha. In Chapter 8, the previous chapter, we learned the first 10 of those melachas in greater depth and detail, and here in Chapter 9 we will learn the next 10 melachas. Halacha Aleph, ha'oifa kegroigeris, one who bakes food, kegroigeris, in the amount of a fig, echod ha'oifes ha'pas, it doesn't matter whether he's baking bread, oy hamevashel as hamaychel, or he's cooking some other type of food, oy es hasamemonim, or he's cooking some kind of chemicals to make a coloring or dye, oy hamechamem es hamayim, or he's heating up water for drinking or bathing purposes, hakel inyan echad hu. It all is the same thing. And it all is various subcategories of the melacha of oifa. Oifa is one av melacha of baking, and these are various other forms of the same av melacha. Shia hamechamim es hamayim, what is the minimum quantity of heating water? Kedei lirchoitz bohem eiver katan, the amount of water that you would need to heat up in order to bathe a small limb. And the small limb means the small toe, the small toe of a small child, v'shir mevashel samemonim. And what is the minimum quantity required for cooking chemicals, kedei shiyur ruyim ladover shemevashel moysam loy? That is the minimum quantity in each individual case, the minimum that you would need in order to carry out the particular purpose for which you are preparing and heating these chemicals. Halocha beis, hanoisen beya b'tzad hamecham, one who takes an egg and puts it next to an urn in which water is heating, bishvil shetizgalgil, in order to begin cooking this egg, v'nizgalgilo, and the egg did begin to cook so that the inside was congealed, at least partially, chayiv, he is guilty, he is punished. Shahamavashal Betildisaur, even though he hasn't put the egg directly on the fire, he's only put it next to an urn, and the urn is hot, having been heated on the fire. One who cooks in something that was heated on the fire, kimevashal beuratzmo, is treated the same as if he were cooking directly on the fire. V'chein hamediach bechamin, and similarly, one who takes hot water that had been heated on the fire, and with this hot water he washes off and rinses dog maliach hayoshan, a salted fish that had sat in the brine or the salt for a very long time and is almost ready to eat. It doesn't need much cooking. Oikulyas ha'ispanin, this is another kind of a very soft and tender fish which has been salted, and then all you have to do is wash it with hot water. Budog radak verach beyoise, this is a very small and very tender fish. Harezechayev, in all of these cases he is punished, even though he didn't heat it up in something hot at all. He merely rinsed it with hot water. He didn't cook. Shahadachosam bechamin, because in these cases, rinsing it with hot water, zehu gemal bishulam, this finishes the cooking. Since it's already been preserved in salt and it's very tender to begin with, the slightest amount of heat finishes its cooking and makes it ready to eat. V'chein kol kayetzbem, and so the law in any similar situation. Halocha gimel, hamafkia es habeya bebeget cham, one who wraps up an egg in some heated cloth, oy bechoil, or in sand, uva avak derochim, or dust that's taken out of the road, shehem chamim mipnei hashemesh, all of these cases they've been heated not by the fire, they've been heated in the sun, and then he wraps up the egg with it, afal pisha nitzlis, in such a case, even though the egg has been cooked thereby, potter, he is not punished. It's forbidden to do this, as we learned in Chapter 1, but he is not punished. Because even though these things were heated, but they were heated by the sun, and something that's heated by the sun is not treated as something that's heated by the fire. Aval gozru aleihem, nevertheless, by rabbinical decree, they did forbid this, mipnei teil v'sa'ur, because one might make a mistake, and if you could cook in something that was heated by the sun, you would think that you could cook in something that's heated by a fire also. V'chein ha-mevashel b'chamitver, similarly, one who cooks something in water that's naturally hot from its natural source, such as the hot springs of Tveria, v'chayitzi b'hem, or other such springs where the water comes from the ground already hot, potter, he is not punished. Ha-mevashel al-ho'or, dover shahoya mevushel kol tzarkei, one who cooks even on the fire, directly, something that had already previously been cooked, and it's now fully cooked, and it doesn't need any more cooking. If he takes this and cooks it again, or he takes something which does not need any cooking at all, butter, in such a case, he is not punished. Halacha Dalet, Echad Nosan Es Ha'Oyer, Ve'Echad Nosan Es Ha'Eitzim, Ve'Echad Nosan Es Ha'Kedeira. If a number of people jointly did the act of cooking, one of them brought the flame, Ve'Echad Nosan Es Ha'Eitzim, and one of them put the fuel there for the flame, Ve'Echad Nosan Es Ha'Kedeira, and then someone else put a pot on top of this fire, it was empty, ve'echod nosan es ha-mayim, and then someone else put water into the pot, ve'echod nosan es ha-bosar, and someone else puts meat into this water in the pot that's on the fire, ve'echod nosan es ha-tavlin, and someone else comes along and puts the seasoning into that pot, uvo acher ve'hegis, and someone else came along and stirred it while it was cooking, kulam chayov mishum mevashal, each one of them is guilty and is punished for cooking, shekoloi sedova because it's not required to do the whole cooking operation from beginning to end. Whoever does any one of the acts that's needed for cooking is punished before having cooked. If, however, one person just arranges and hangs the pot there on top of the fireplace, and there's no fire, uba'ache v'nosen es ha-mayim, and someone else puts water into such a pot, uba'ache v'nosen es ha-bosar, someone else then puts meat in, uba'ache v'nosen es ha-tavlin, and someone else puts the seasoning in, uba'ache v'nosen es ha-or, and someone else brings a flame, but there's no fuel for it, uba'ache v'nosen eitzim al-ho'or, and someone else comes along and puts wood onto the flame so that there'll be fuel there, and someone else comes along and stirs it. Only the last two are punished for cooking. The first ones are not punished because there was no flame there. All they did was put things into a pot. And the one who put the flame there, the flame would not have cooked anything here. The flame would have gone out had someone else not brought fuel for that flame. And therefore, only the last two are punished for having cooked. Halacha hey, hinir boser al gabi gecholim. If someone puts meat directly onto the glowing coals, not in a pot to cook it, so he's in effect roasting or broiling, then if he left it there long enough that a fig-sized portion of the meat became roasted, the whole meat didn't become roasted, only one portion, and it's a fig-sized portion, even if there's no fig size in one place, it's cooked in several different places, and altogether the pieces that are cooked are the size of a fig, chayav, he is punished. Loi nitzla boi kigregeris, if there is no place, even altogether, that's the size of a fig that was roasted, aval nizbashal kulay chatzi bishul, however, the whole thing was cooked halfway, that is, no place was properly roasted, but the whole thing was cooked half as much, then chayiv, then he is punished, because people who are in a great hurry can eat such a food. Nizbashal chatzi bishul mitzad echod, if it was cooked halfway only on one side and on the other side it's still raw, potter, he is not punished, unless he turns it over, and it has to be halfway cooked on both sides. If one forgot that it was Shabbos or that it's forbidden to bake on Shabbos, and he stuck a loaf of bread onto the oven on Shabbos, in the old-fashioned ovens, they used to take the loaf of bread that was made out of dough, they took the dough and put it onto the side of the oven, and it would stick there on the side of the oven with the fire inside the oven, and it would bake, and the whole loaf of bread with bacon crust over, and the last piece, the part that's actually stuck to the oven, would crust over last, and when that would crust over, it would fall down, and then it was done, and it would be removed. If one forgot that it was Shabbos, and he stuck the loaf of dough onto the oven on Shabbos with his car, and then he remembers that it's Shabbos and it's forbidden to do that. He is permitted to remove it from the oven before it becomes baked, before he ends up having done a full malacha, because the malacha is not until it's finished baking, and therefore since he remembers, he can save himself from the malacha by removing it, even though by rabbinical decree it's forbidden to remove bread from the oven on Shabbos, but in order to save himself from a Torah law, he can transgress this rabbinical decree, but this is only he may do it, someone else may not do it for him. Halacha Vav, Hamatich Echod Mimine Matchis Kol Shehu, one who heats up and melts some sort of a metal, even in the smallest quantity, it doesn't need the size of a fig, or one who heats up metals until it begins to glow like a glowing coal, he needs this for some purpose. All of this is derivative melochis of cooking. Similarly, one who takes things that are solid at room temperature and they liquefy when you heat them up, one heats up, for instance, some sort of a fat, oyas achelev, or tallow, oyas hazefes, or tar, vaha koifer, or pitch, vaha gofris, sulfur, all these things are solid at room temperature, and they liquefy when you heat them, vaha yetzibem, any such similar thing, hareza tildis mevashel, all this is derivative of cooking, vachayev, and he is punished. Vachayin ha mevashel klei adoma, cheyosu cheres, similarly, one who takes utensils that were made out of earth, out of clay, and he bakes them, he heats them until they turn into pottery, chayiv mishum mevashel. Here he has made it harder, not softer by the heat. Nevertheless, since the use of the heat made it ready for use, he is punished for cooking. Kloli shel davar, the general rule here is bein sharif aguf kosher beish, regardless of whether he took a solid and he softened it or melted it by heat, or shehik shaguf rach, or he took something soft or liquid and he congealed it or hardened it by the heat, harezechayev. Either way, he is punished mishum mevashel for cooking. Halocha zayin, the next melocha, hagoizis tzemer, shearing wool, oiseyer, or shearing, or one who shears hair, bein min habehema, bein min achaya, either from a domestic animal or from a wild beast, bein min achay, bein min ames, regardless of whether he shears it from a living animal or from a dead animal, afilu min hashelach, even if he even if he shears it from the hide that's already been removed from the animal, and the hide still has hair on it, and he shears the hair off, chayiv, in all cases, he is punished. Kama shiuroi, and what is the minimum quantity that he has to shear? Kedei litvois mimenu chut, and he has to shear off enough hair, enough fiber, that you could spin from it a thread, she'arki kereichiv hasit kofel, whose length, the length of this thread, is twice the a sit kofel. V'chama hu reichiv hasit, and how much is the reichiv hasit, how much is this, kedei limteach min aboyin shel yod at ha'etzba, enough string that you could stretch it from the tip of the thumb to the tip of the index finger, kisheyiftach b'neiam b'chol korchoi, when the thumb and index finger have been spread apart as hard as you can. V'hukariv l'shtei shlishei zeres, and this is almost two-thirds of a span. A span is half of a cubit, and therefore this is almost one-third of a cubit. Hatelish konav min ha'oif, one who plucks out a feather from a bird, hareza tildes goizes, this is a derivative of shearing, hatoives hatzeme minachai, one who spins threads out of the wool, out of the fiber, while the sheep is still living, potter, he is not punished. She'ein zerach gziza bekach, he is not punished, even though it's now no longer wool on the sheep, it's now thread on the sheep, and he has in effect removed it. He is not punished for shearing, because this is not the normal way of shearing. And in fact, it's still connected to the animal vein derech niputz pekach, nor is he punished for having combed it, even though he has to comb it on the animal before he can spin it, twist it into thread, because this is not the normal way of combing. Vein derech tviya bekach, and even though he has spun it, this is not the normal way of spinning, and therefore he is not punished. Halocha ches, hanoy til tziparnav, one who cuts his fingernails, or saray, or his hair, or isfamay, or his mustache, or his konay, or his beard, hareza tail disguises, all these are derivatives of shearing, v'chayev, and he's punished. Who sheyitl bekeli, but he's punished only if he cuts these off with some tool that's made for that. Avolim notlam biyoda, if however he rips it off with by hand, bein loy bein laacher, either for himself, he rips it off from his own body or from someone else, potter, he is not punished. V'chein hachoytech yabelis migufoy, similarly, one who cuts off a wart from his body, bein biyod, bein bekli, either he plucks it off by hand or he cuts it off with a tool, potter, he is not punished. Bein loy, bein liacher, regardless of whether he plucks it off from himself or from someone else. This is the Rambam's opinion. Other Rishonim have differing opinions here. Umuta lachtech yabeles bamigdash biyod, in the base hamikdash, the warts have to be removed, because a kohen that has certain kinds of warts may not perform the sacrificial service in the base hamikdash. Also, certain animals that have certain kinds of warts may not be used as sacrifices in the base hamikdash, but if the wart is removed, then the kohen may perform the service, or the animal may be used as a sacrifice. The warts may be cut off in the Beis HaMikdash Biyad. They may be cut off by hand, avaloi bekli, but not using a tool. Since the rule is that in the Beis HaMikdash, generally speaking, things that are forbidden by rabbinical decree have not been forbidden in the Beis HaMikdash. V'im hoisa yevesha, and if we're talking about a wart that's not living material, but it's actually dried out already, choytcha, he can cut it off or scrape it off, av bekli, even using some sort of a tool, v'oyved avoida, and then he can proceed to perform the sacrificial service. Halocha tes, hanoytel se'ori bekli, one who cuts his hair with a tool, a scissors or something, kama yitl v'yechayv, how much hair does he have to cut off in order to be punished? Shtei sidus, two hairs, v'im likit levonis mitech shchoiris, if however he's not simply cutting hair, but he's removing white hair from among the black ones, and he plucked out or cut off a white hair from among the black ones, afilu achas, even if it was a single hair, chayev, he is punished here, because here he has accomplished something, he's removing white hair. A person who is particular not to have white hair doesn't want even a single hair there. Tzipoyrin sheparsha ruba, a nail that has already partly fallen off from the finger, and most of it is already off the finger, v'tzitzin shel oyer, or little pieces of skin that are hanging, shepar shurubam, and the majority of it has already been removed from where it was growing, impar shuklapi maila, umetzaris oisoi, if they are separated from the body in the upward direction, that is towards the body, and they cause him pain or discomfort, mutalita oisam biyodei, it's permitted to pluck them off by hand, avaloi bekli, but not with a tool, v'im notlam bekli, and if one does pluck it off with a tool, potter, he is not punished. V'im einan mitzadis oisei, however, if they do not cause him any discomfort, afilu biyad oisei, then it's forbidden to pluck it off even by hand, v'im loy parshu ruban, and if the majority has not yet become separated, afilu mitzadis oisei, then even if they cause him pain, oisei lenotlam biyodei, it's forbidden to pluck it off by hand, via notlam bekli, and in such a case, if he plucks it off with a tool, chayav, he is punished. Halacha yud, the next malach is hamelabein, bleaching. Hamelabein es hatzemer, one who bleaches wool. Well, wool is shorn off. The animal, it has the color that the sheep had, which may be black, or even in a white sheep, the wool is actually a dirty yellow. If he plucks or shears off the wool and then he bleaches it, or yes ha pishton, or flax, which is also yellowish, or yes ha shani, or certain wool that's already prepared to be dyed scarlet, and it has to be bleached before you can dye it, and so any similar thing, anything that is usually and normally bleached or made white for some purpose, chayav, he is punished. And how much is the minimum quantity? He has to bleach enough fiber that you could spin out of it a thread that's the length of Meloy Reichav Hasit Kofel, which we learned in a previous halacha. Shu'oirech Arbot Vochiv, then this length is for hand breaths. Halacha Yudalev, Hamechabes Begodim, one who wanders, who washes clothes. Hareyu Tildes Malabin, this is a derivative of bleaching. V'chayev, and he is punished. V'hasechites Habeged, and one who wrings out or squeezes a garment, Acheyetzi Hamayim Shaboy, to remove the water that was absorbed into the garment. Hareyza Mechabes, this is also part of the laundering process. V'chayev, and he is punished. Because wringing out is one of the things that is done in the process of laundering. Just the way that we learned that stirring the food in a pot is one of the activities that's done while cooking. With hair, there is no prohibition of wringing out. And the same applies to leather. In either of these cases, if he wrings it out, leather or something made out of hair, he is not punished for squeezing it. Nevertheless, it's forbidden. Halacha Yud Beis, Hamenapitz is Hatzemer, one who combs wool, or yes hapishto, or flax, or yes hashoni, or wool that's prepared for dyeing scarlet, v'chayitzi behem, or some similar thing, which has just wild pieces of small fiber, and they have to be combed out into normal fiber before they can be spun. If he combs it, chayev, he is punished. V'chamesh yurei, what's the minimum quantity? Again, kidei litveis v'menu chut echod, and enough to spin a thread, whose length is 4 hand breadths. One who takes sinews, these are pieces of muscle or tendon from an animal that can also be made into a thread. If he combs this, acheyosu kitzemer, until he combs it into a fine fiber like wool, kidei litvisoisom, for the purpose of spinning them into a thread, hareza tailus menapitz, this is a derivative of combing, v'chayev, and he's punished. Halochi yud gimel hatzeveya, one who dies with a coloring, chut sh'arki arbot, a thread whose length is four hand breadths, or some fiber out of which one could spin a thread that's this length. If he dies, this amount of fiber or thread, chayev, he is punished. And one who dies, fiber is not punished, unless this is a permanent type of dye. However, a dye that has no permanence whatsoever, kegoin shehevir sorok oy sheishar, one algabi barzel oy nechoishes v'tzavoy, one who takes srak or sheishar. Srak is a sort of a yellow coloring, and sheishar is a kind of a red coloring, and he rubs this onto a piece of iron or a piece of bronze, brass, utzvoy, and he colored it potter. He is not punished. Shareyata ma'avire l'shaitei v'ein etzivei aklum, because ata ma'avire l'shaitei, you merely pass this coloring over it for a temporary purpose, and nothing has actually been dyed here, because as soon as you wipe it, the coloring comes off. It's not absorbed into the metal. And any kind of a work which is of no permanence, if it was done on Shabbos, one is not punished. Halacha yudalet, oisa ein hatzeva, one who prepares the dye itself, haleza toildes tzeveya, this is a derivative of dying, v'chayev, and he's punished. Ketzad, for example, kegoin shenosan kan kantaim l'teich me'afza, Kankantoim is a certain copper salt which creates a black dye. Here he has the black crystals and he puts them into gallnut juice, which is the liquid in which it's going to be dissolved, and now the whole thing, she'anase hakel shochet, the whole thing becomes a black dye, or she'nosan istis l'toich me'karkim. Istis is a certain kind of a blue dye, and he takes the blue crystals and he puts them into saffron juice, in which it's going to be dissolved, she'nasa hakel yorik, and the whole thing becomes a greenish blue. Or any similar thing, he is punished. And how much is the minimum quantity of dye he has to make? Amount of dye that one could color a string whose length is 4 handbreadths. One who spins, one takes now the individual fibers and spins them or twists them together on a special machine that's made for that, or it can be done by hand also, and he spins it into thread. Hatoive oirechar bo tvochim, one who spins a length of 4 handbreadths, be called dovefon hanitve, from any material or substance which is normally spun into thread, chayev, he is punished. Echot hatoive satzemer, regardless if he's spinning wool, or yes, hapishton, or flax, he's spinning into linen thread, or yes, hanoitzo, or feathers, or yes, haseyor, or hair, or yes, hagidin, or sinews from animals, v'chein kol kayetzibem, any similar thing which you spin into thread. Hoy says ha lavad, hareiz atil destoive v'chayev. One who makes flannel, flannel is a cloth that's made not by spinning the fiber into threads and then weaving the threads into cloth, but levad is made by taking the fiber as it is and pressing it very hard until it forms a solid piece of cloth. It's like a flannel. Hareza teildes teve, this is a derivative of spinning, v'chayev. And he's punished, v'hushi alabi dovash efshalitvis mimenu chut. And this is only if he has made an amount of cloth or thread, he's pressed it into a thread and he's made an amount from which you could spin threads if you wanted to, a thread of normal thickness that is 4 handbreadths long. Now we come to the weaving operation. Once you make the threads, it has to be woven. And the first step in the weaving operation is to put the thread onto the loom. The thread is stretched on the loom between two bars that are at the two ends of the loom, and you take the individual threads and you loop them around the bar, one end around one bar and one end around the other bar, and this pulls the threads of the length of the cloth. The threads are pulled taut, and now you have the one dimension of the cloth. After you finish this, one who loops two threads like that next to each other onto the loom is punished. One who is weaving not cloth, but he is taking wire and weaving it into a sifter, or he's taking some other thicker thing and making a strainer out of it, or he's weaving reeds or leaves into a basket, a kind of a net that goes on the head, or he weaves a bed out of ropes. That is, you take the bed frame and you tie the ends of the ropes onto it and you weave it so that this now will support the mattress. All of these are derivatives of arranging threads on the loom. And as soon as he arranges on it, it stretches out two threads in one direction in any one of these manufacturing operations, chayev, he is punished. And so is any case where one takes two threads and he loops them on, in any case where one normally makes threads that are arranged that way in the same fashion, chayev, he is punished. Halacha Yud Zayin. Now we come to the second step of the weaving operation. Once the threads have all been arranged into the loom in one direction, now the normal thing when you weave, you do the following. First thing you do is you stretch out the threads in the length of the cloth that's to be made, and at the proper width, that is, you put the number, the correct number of strands into the length, so you get the correct width. Ushnayim oichzim. Now, two people hold this cloth that has only one dimension of threads in it. Zemikan v'zemikan. One person holds it at one end, and one person holds it at the other end. Ve'echot shevet b'shevet alachutin. And one person beats it with a stick onto these stretched out threads. U'mesakin oisam zebitzad zeh. And he arranges them correctly, one next to the other, until you have a whole cloth there in one direction and the lengthwise without the width, without any threads yet in the width. Because when you first thread them onto the loom, the threads are stretched out next to each other, but it's not arranged properly. There are still places where the threads overlap each other, and there are places where the threads where there's a hole and the threads are not arranged properly, and you want it into one solid piece where they're arranged properly next to each other, and therefore this has to be arranged that way. And now this stretching out and arranging these threads, the way weavers do it, this is called the arranging of one dimension of the cloth. And in fact, there's a special tool that's somewhere halfway between a weight and a brush. It has certain bristles, and you rub it up and down on the threads, and this also helps arrange the thread. V'zeh ha-mesich, and this person who stretches it out and arranges it this way, nikra mesich, is called the one who arranges it on the loom. U'kshekoif le-moiso maschil l'hachnes ha-erev b'shesi, and then when you proceed to the next thing where you double the threads by beginning to put the threads in crosswise, spinning it crosswise and weaving it across the length of the threads, nikra oirig, this is called weaving. Halacha yudches hamesich, the one who stretched it out and arranged it and organized the threads there, whom chayev, he is punished. Who malacha meyavis malachas, and this is one of the principal categories of malacha. V'hashevet alachutin ache yisparku v'yataknam, and the one who bangs and beats on the threads until they separate where they were overlapping, and he corrects it, he fixes it. This is all a derivative of the arranging. And how much is the minimum quantity? So soon as he has fixed up and arranged properly threads in the width of two finger breaths, now he is punished. And similarly, one who weaves in two strands crosswise in a width on the length of two finger breaths, if he is punished. Regardless of whether he is first now beginning the weaving of the operation, or if the garment, the cloth was partly woven already, the origal horug, and then he continued the weaving on the garment that was already partly woven, so he extended the woven place. Shiurash nechutim, in either case, the minimum quantity is two strands. Vim orag chut echod v'hishlin by habeged, and if you had a garment or a piece of cloth that's almost finished, and there's only the one last thread that has to be put in, and if he weaves in that last thread and thereby he finishes the piece of cloth, chayev, then he's punished even for that one thread. Orag b'sfas hayeriya shnei chutim bereichav shloisha batei nirim, if at the edge, what's called the selvage, the edge of the cloth where the weaving is done slightly differently, if he wove in at the edge of the cloth, shnei chutim, two threads were woven in, bereichav shloisha batei nirim, along the width of two of three stretched out strands, not two here, but three, chayiv, now he's punished. To what do we compare this? Why do we say he's punished here? One who makes a small garter belt that altogether has only three strands in it. Since he has, in fact, made the cloth that he wants, therefore he's punished. Halacha Yutes, Hamedagdek Esachutin, one who examines the threads while the weaving operation takes place. It has to be examined to make sure that there's no mistake there. One who examines the threads umafridon and separates them beiswariga while the weaving is going on, hadezatildis oirig. This is a derivative of weaving. Sometimes when you're weaving in the crosswise thread, sometimes moves too far away from the next crosswise thread, or sometimes it moves too close and it overlaps, and someone examines this and fixes it, that is a derivative of weaving. V'chein hakileya es hanimin, one who braids threads, harei zetel des erig, this braiding is a derivative of weaving. Vishiuroi, and the minimum quantity is Mishayasa Kliya Boirach Shteyatz Bois, when he's braided the threads together in a length of two fingers. Halocha Chav Habitzeya, one who unweaves Shnei Chutim, two threads, Chayev. He is punished. Ubaitzeya, what do we mean by unweaving? Hu Hamafrish Es Ha'orog, he who undoes the weaving, Bein Shahoitzi Ha'erev Min Ashesi, regardless of whether he takes the crosswise thread that has just been woven in and he pulls it out from the lengthwise thread, Oy Shehevir Hashesi Me'al Ha'erev, or he removes a lengthwise thread out of the crosswise ones, Hareza Baitseya, this is unweaving, V'chayev, and he is punished, V'hu Shalo Yehei Mekalkil, but he's punished always when one does a destructive work, he's not punished. Here we mean that he's punished Shalo Yehei Mekalkil, if he's not doing it destructively, that is to destroy the cloth, Eli Yiskavin L'Thakin, it is his intention to fix it, K'derech Sha'oisin Eilu Shem Achin Es HaBegodim HaKalim B'Yoisin, just as people who take very thin garments and they reweave them. What do you have to do? Shaboitzim. First thing you have to do, move the weave. V'achakach ma'achin, and thereafter you can reweave it in. V'choizim v'oirgim, and then they go ahead and they redo the weaving. Chutim shabotzu. They put back in the threads that they had removed. Acheyasu shnei ha'begodim, or shnei ha'kroim echad, so that two pieces of cloth, or two places, two edges of a rip, where a cloth was torn, are made into one. Here also, in the normal weaving operation, sometimes it was done incorrectly, and it's in the middle of the cloth, it has to be removed and woven back in correctly. And this is a melacha. V'hasoyser es ha'kliya letakin, one who unbraids some braided threads in order to fix it, to rebraid it again correctly. Hariz etel des beitzeya, this is a derivative of unweaving. V'shiyurei kishir ha'beitzeya, and the minimum amount is the same as the minimum amount of unweaving in order for him to be punished. Thank you for listening. Please listen tomorrow for chapter 10.